Hello and welcome to Bergkamp Wonderland. My name's Jason, I'm your host, and today I'm joined by John Welsh. John, say hello.
You alright, Jason? How you doing, mate?
Well, good. I'm sorry, okay? I just think it's so... It's kind of wonderful to watch all those dirty northern monkeys upset at the last minute. It's just made my day, you know. It's absolutely made my day. How are you, pal? You right?
Yeah, no. I laughed my ass off when it happened, but I was just in complete shock because I thought, oh god, this is 0-0 written all over it. You know, they're going to hold on, and then just what on earth that was it, Trokoski or whatever his name is doing at the end there, just like with the little push and. Yeah, it's just hilarious. And then obviously all the
mixes, it was
everyone just cracking up, laughing and all cheering and everything. It's great.
It was crazy, wasn't it? I mean, nonsense from them. I think they got what they deserved, you know. I mean, people say we got lucky. I don't agree with that. I thought second half we dominated, but let's get into it. Is it the lineups, mate? Talk me through the lineup. No Ozil, off with illness. Go on.
I think other than Ozil not starting, it's pretty much the expected 11 we're going to see most weeks now. I'd guess this is what we'll see any away game and the sort of the big home games. You might get a bit of rotation, say, come around Christmas time when the fixtures pile up a little bit. But this is definitely his first 11. I think it's interesting that you see Iwobi is next in line to be bumped into the team over some other players. Whether Welbeck will maybe take that position once he's got a bit more, you know, a few more minutes in his legs and got back to full fitness is to be seen. But, yeah, no, I think this is what we expect to see. The other thing as well is I know some people were a little bit cynical about the Ozil illness. Apparently he was ill. He was in the hotel, I think they stayed in Preston. So he was there in Preston and he got up this morning and whatever the illness was, we've ruled him out of the game. So I'm sure he'll be back soon enough. But, yeah, was happy enough with the lineup. Pretty much what I expected.
Yeah, it was. Okay, in the box, in the chat box, we have Thierry Henry, Carlito Elguna, Sistemo 19, Stan the Man 450, Jonas Sundsten. I'm sorry if I've butchered that, mate. I do apologise. Corey Austin, the one and only Corey Austin. Marble Halls TV, Loki 73, the McManus, Asbirful, J Rob, Jeffrey O'Hara, Mad Wired Sports, JPB 3000, Bradley Tucker, MSM 25, Alonzo Spencer. Hello, Alonzo. You're right, pal. The Long Blake Road. Joshua Page, James McMurray, Stephen Edwards. You're right, pal. If I've missed you, I do apologise. We'll try to get round to you all. I thought the lineup was tidy. I'm a bit concerned about Iwobi, to be honest with you. We'll talk about him a bit later, but yeah, he's a talented boy, but he doesn't seem to be putting, you know, delivering. On that talent at the moment. So Burnley, this season, Burnley have drawn with Liverpool away, drawn with Spurs away, beaten, Chelsea away, and they got humped by Man City, but hasn't everybody? First 10 minutes, they dominated, didn't they?
I was really impressed. I'll be honest, I think I predicted a draw for this game because... You know, Burnley have got a decent defensive record and they can nick a goal and I thought they'll probably get one from a set piece is most likely sort of avenue today. But they pressed really high up the pitch and they left a lot of space in behind their centre-halves. They weren't just kicking it long straight up to Barnes. Obviously, they were using him when they could, but I thought they exploited the sort of gaps in between Iwobi and Bellerin and the same the other side with Sanchez and Kolasinac and really got our wing-backs today and tried to put decent crosses in. And they were just quicker to every ball. They were winning all the 50-50s. I thought their passing was sharper. They were just running, getting to everything quicker than us. And some games where I see that happen, you kind of go, oh, well, it's Arsenal. They've gone into the game a little bit lazy and they're not awake enough and maybe they... you know, haven't taken the game serious enough before the kickoff. But I actually think it's credit to Burnley. I think they were the better team for the first 20, 30 minutes of the game, definitely. And although there weren't a ton of chances for them, they certainly, they created the better ones, I thought, in the first half.
Yeah, I think that Dyke had his tactics bang on the money. That three-man midfield they've got outnumbered us. They always had this, have the spare man free. I know a lot of them, my mates were Swansea fans. They couldn't believe Swansea sold Jack Hawk. Mm. You know, and I thought he looked great in the middle for them. I thought, you know, they were sharp and you know, they just exploited that extra man in midfield consistently, didn't they? You know, they created space. And who's the boy? Goodmanson.
Yeah.
Nice bit of pace, you know, and he likes to attack. Ashley Barnes' penalty shout, mate. He's given offside, but Nacho, what was he doing there?
I got no idea. A couple of times in the game, I thought Nacho was really out of it and making bad decisions. And it was lucky Barnes was called offside, because if the push on Ramsey's a penalty, which I don't think anyone disagrees with, then the one on Barnes certainly was, because that was a blatant fair. He had no attempt to play the ball whatsoever. And that was just complete desperation. I don't know. I think, you know, eventually they managed to get Mustafi on Barnes as the game went on. And I thought he dealt with him for the most part quite well, but Barnes at any time he could was trying to pull onto Nacho and trying to isolate him, because he's going to win those physical battles against him, and especially in the air as well. So I thought, you know, it was smart tactics from them, but luckily it was offside, so no penalty given. But yeah, I was a bit worried, because I think most people probably expected Burnley just to sit deep and try and get us on the counter, or, you know, nick something from a free kick, but that's not the way they approached the game at all.
No, I mean, to be fair, they played good football, didn't they? I mean, the Goodmanson effort when he hits the post, you know.
Mm. Again, did Nacho there, didn't he? Just totally sold him.
Yeah, but they're for all the people who slag off Sean Dyche, you know, Dyche, whatever you pronounce it, I think he's a good manager. I think, you know, he gets them playing really decent football. I think they have a go. You know, Ashley Barnes, I mean, he crumbled whenever, you know, he just went to ground, crumbled whenever near him. But Mustafi kept him quiet, thankfully. But you could see they were trying to isolate Hector. They tried to isolate Nacho. But we dealt with it. You know, we were under the cosh a bit. The extra man in midfield really, really... It exposed us. It exposed us all game, you know, but all first half, rather. But, you know, we showed a bit of mettle where I think in the past we could have crumbled. Brady studs up challenge on Nacho, and Nacho jumped out the way. How was there no card for that?
I didn't get that. There was a couple of people who called for a booking before that, and I think it was challenge on Iwobi on the edge of the box, which I actually thought was he won the ball and then went through the player afterwards. But the one on Nacho, it's one of those where you lose possession of the ball, you're trying to keep it and you're chasing after it, and then you lunge in. It's completely out of control. He's got no control over whether he's going to catch the player or not. Luckily, Nacho managed to get out of the way, but yeah, I thought that should have been a yellow. I mean, Lee Mason had a weird afternoon. I don't know. I thought he did some good things, you know, with letting play go on at times. And then it was like weird ones when he was giving free kicks for like a clash of heads when it should have been a drop ball. And then he actually does give the penalty when, you know, probably the way the game had gone, you would expect he's not going to give it. So I don't know why that wasn't a yellow, but I don't know how many Burnley players actually got booked in the game. I'll have to look up. It's a strange decision.
But you know, it's he's off his feet, right? He's off his feet. He's out of control, and his studs are up, right? Now, I thought that's a red card.
I think it depends on whether it's considered dangerous play. I think is the ruling.
He's lucky Nacho jumped out the way, I think, because you know, he'd have had a hell of a decision to make there, but not to give even a yellow for it.
Unless he's thinking, you know, it's a slip or something like that, I've got no idea what his reasoning is for it. But I don't think anyone's going to question that, you know, referees this season, whoever you name, have all made bad decisions. Not just against us, against every team, it's happened. But yeah, there's the problem is this, we've said that we'll probably say this every season, we'll probably say this for the next 10 seasons. There's no consistency in the refereeing. Story with that. That's every other, most other games you see that as a yellow card. There's a Xhaka tackle in the second half that's from behind. Yes, he wins the ball and it's a great tackle. And 10 years ago, there was probably nothing wrong with it. But nowadays, aren't tackles from behind supposed to be an automatic yellow card? I thought that was the rule. And the ref just let play go on. I mean, that's great for us. And I thought it's hilarious because all the Burnley fans were obviously whinging about it and booing for about 10 minutes after. But there's so little consistency in refereeing. I've got no idea. It's now like, these are the rules, but then also the referee then gets to reinterpret them in his own view as well. And it's not just his own view for the season, it's his own view from game to game. Because no doubt you'll see Lee Mason referee next week and he'll give a yellow card for something softer than that. So
yeah, it's all a bit strange, isn't it? It's a bit weird. Move on. For Kolasinac, throw in. Gives it to Lacazette. Lacazette, some fantastic movement down the sideline. Whips in a wonderful cross, and Ramsey just can't get his feet right for it and misses it. God, he should have done better there, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. I'm not asking that he scores that every time, but at least hit the target. You expect someone with Rambo's quality. He's got to make the goalkeeper work, you know. Put a save in.
Yeah.
And when you see some of the goals he scored for us, especially that is very typical Aaron Ramsey. That ball comes across 9 times out of 10. You think, oh, great. Yeah, it's a nice, easy finish. That's kind of his trademark. And really good from Lacazette, who throughout the game, I thought, was probably really frustrated, didn't get a lot of service. Partly into credit to Burnley in the way they defended and they kept the ball, especially in the first half. But you know, he had to work really hard and offered himself in positions that he probably doesn't want to be in as a striker. You don't really want to be pulling out wide, but he's got that about him, that intelligence to find the space and knows that it's going to open it up for someone else. So, yeah, it's disappointing. Rambo will be annoyed. And obviously it could have cost us in the game, but I don't know. There's still people who don't like Ramsey. I really don't.
Cully Dwelgoona. Cully Dwelgoona.
Yeah. One season wonder. I don't agree with that. I can see why people might think, yeah, okay, he hasn't hit the heights of that one season, but we play a different style now. It's not the same. He hasn't got the same players around him. And there's plenty of players who go through their career and have one season that's a lot higher output for goals or whatever than others. Ramsey does a different job now. He's got to track back a lot more and, you know, he's got a lot more pitch to cover and it's different. He's playing in a midfield with just one other player. And he's playing with Granit Xhaka, who isn't having the best of seasons either. So he's doing a lot of work right now.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought from the back three, I thought, even though they tried to target Nacho, I thought he played very well. You know, the back three was solid. The midfield, they struggled initially with to deal with the extra man, but then we fell into our own pattern and coped very well with it. With Lacazette, you know, yes, it was a difficult day for him. Let's make no bones about it. You know, he's struggled to get any service. I'm gonna be a little bit horrible to Iwobi because I didn't think Iwobi was whatsoever. I thought Iwobi really struggled. I don't think this system suits him. I think it's a difficult one to sort of really be to fit into. Whereas you have a Mesut's movement is so fluid and he's, you know, he's always getting into positions for the midfield. I mean, for the midfield to be able to pass to him. I don't think Iwobi did that. I think Iwobi offered very little in attack and very little in defence. You know, a couple of bright moments, but that's about it. But what were your thoughts on Iwobi?
I'm not sure what conclusions to make from him because if you watch him play for Nigeria, he performs a lot better. He plays a different role there. He plays a number 10 and plays more like a second striker. He's a lot more central. And when he was in the youth setup as well, that was more the role he was playing in the team. This system, like you said, I don't think it does suit him best. But he does have those little moments of brilliance where he can, you know, skin a player and gets a good shot off and everything else. It's his kind of lack of composure at times, I think, is a problem. We've spoken about his fitness before. Again, he seems to struggle a little bit. I don't know if it's just his body language that makes him look like that. Maybe, I don't know, you know, Arsenal themselves, you know, Wenger and the coaching staff will know whether he's actually capable of doing that many minutes. And I assume he must be, because they keep putting him out on the pitch. But so maybe it's his body language that makes him look like he's more tired than he actually is. But he just doesn't seem quite up to pace or the understanding with the other players around him. I do think there is, you can give him a little bit of slack, players like him, maybe Wilshere as well, and a few others who have basically been in, you know, the sort of the B team this season in the Europa League team and haven't played that much with Lacazette, Sanchez, Ozil, you know, Ramsey, Xhaka. They're basically playing with a completely different team, or have been for the majority of the week. So maybe is this sort of period now into Christmas and January, they get more game time and a bit more, you know, develop a bit more of a rapport with them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I think his decision-making is a big thing. I mean, Majib Ahmed puts in here, people need to lay off the Iwobi, he's still young, for fuck's sakes. Well, not being funny, Majib, okay? He's playing in the first team for the Arsenal. It means you have to deliver. You know, it's all very well saying, you know, we got to give the youngsters a break. I think we do. You know, you look at Iwobi, he's got a wonderful pair of feet, you know, but until his decision-making comes alive, okay, Rado, you know, and comes up to standard, you know, how's he going to take advantage of the talent that he has? Because he's obviously a talented guy. He's obviously a talented young player, but his decision-making needs to improve. And, you know, when you're playing in the Premier League, there's no hiding place. There's absolutely no hiding place. You know, for me, he's delivered very little today. And I don't see how he can justify a starting position. You know, he's got to improve to get into this team. The Czech save from Hendrick.
It was only a couple of times he was sort of called in. I think it was that and maybe the free kick Czech really had to deal with today. But, yeah, I think he's last few games, he's made a couple of... They haven't looked important. I haven't probably been spoken about as much because we've gone on to win them, or, you know, we've been talking more about the goals and how the defence has been performing. But you've still got to make those saves, because it wasn't so long ago people were getting on Czech's back a bit and saying, oh, you know, maybe we should have got someone in the summer to come in and replace him. You know, should we have kept Szczesny and chucked him straight in and made Czech the, you know, Europa League goalkeeper? So he's improved a little bit. I think his distribution has improved as well. It seems a bit calmer. I didn't like it when he took those two touches, the first touch and then the one off the chest to take it past Barnes in the second half. That scared me a little bit. I was getting visions of Ospina. But, yeah, no, like, good save. And again, I think that kind of, the fact that Burnley were making those chances, I think that also, you've got to take that into account when maybe laying some criticism at the Arsenal players, is the fact that Burnley didn't give us much room to do our thing and didn't give us time on the ball. I thought Xhaka in particular in the first half really struggled, because whenever he is pressured quickly and there's not an easy option around him, he tends to lose the ball a little bit. And then second half, as we got more possession, everyone got into their game and into their rhythm a bit more.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, you know, we always look at our own players, and something that our Dom always says, you got to look at the quality of the other team. And the bottom line is, I thought Burnley were top notch first half. I thought, you know, what the Anks call it, hustle. They showed great hustle. They, you know, they hunted us down, they won the ball, and they were always positive when they had the ball. They, you know, they really tried to, you know, to create when they had the ball. They didn't sit back and wait for set pieces. It was a full blooded encounter first half. And only sort of towards the end of the first half and second half did we really dominate it. Did we come in and actually, you know, set our stall out and you know, put our foot on the game. Sanchez, he was foiled in the box. There was a great little link of play between him, Ramsey and Lacazette, which created an opportunity. He couldn't take it first time. But you know, he took one touch, and it was a great tackle on him. And I think that kind of summed up Burnley for me. You know, they were as good as they were, you know, throughout the first half. Defensively, they were really solid. They set up those two banks, and were really effective in the way they defended against us. What were your thoughts on how their defensive setup?
Yeah, I was. It's you expect it from, I say, lower down the league opposition. They were only place behind us, weren't they? We were level on points before the game. So, you know, they've had a really good start to the season, and Burnley, I know they've gone up and down a few times, but they've got Shaudash, who's a very experienced manager now at this level. They've got some decent players in there. They've, I think, proved that at home they're extremely difficult to break down. I think that's like the ground in the league with the least goal scene throughout the whole Premier League. So you know it's going to be tough when you go there. And when you've got someone as skilled as Sanchez, who again, first half, I don't think any of our players were amazing, but that first touch he takes, where he does that thing where he feints to go one way and then with his first touch takes it the other way, that's so hard to defend against. And the fact that they can then recover and get a block in is really impressive. And I think it just kind of summed up the frustration that we had, that the times when we did get our foot on the ball, because we didn't have the ball a lot in the first half. We didn't have as much possession as probably people thought we would. You know, the final pass either wasn't good enough from us, or was intercepted or blocked from a Burnley player. So I don't think we really threatened, is it Pope? Is that their keeper?
Yeah.
I don't think we really threatened Pope in goal in the first half at all.
We didn't have a shot on target in goal. I mean, the best effort was the Ramsey effort, which he just couldn't get on target. You know, which was really disappointing. We had a Monreal effort after a bit of ping pong in the box after we as we started to dominate the game. But as you say, we couldn't find that killer pass for them to put Lacazette free or to create a clear chance. But I think that was mainly down to excellent defending from Burnley. You know, by God, I wish their fans would learn a new song. I mean, you know, that atmosphere, a lot of people slagging them off for the atmosphere. And yes, don't get me wrong, one eyed isn't the word. That's how I watch football. But, you know, if you're part of that, it's fantastic. But, you know, if it's against you, it's a real pain in the ass. But same old Arsenal always cheating. I mean, Ashley Barnes was going down easier than a hooker going down for a tramp on chips. Let's just say that. You know, there were some dodgy challenges in there, a couple from behind as well. The one thing that did worry me, okay, say for argument's sake, you know, Czech got hold of the ball from a set piece when we were in the cosh. Our lack of counter-attack is really worrying.
Strange, isn't it? You think it's interesting because Lacazette is quick, but he's quick over 5 yards. He's not going to run with the ball like a Welbeck kind of guy. But he's got that intelligence in his brain to make the space, to get, you know, past the defender, and then he's going to be strong enough to hold him off and get a goal. And you've got him, you've got Alexis. Okay, Iwobi. Iwobi probably has more pace than people realise, but we just don't exploit any of those things. You've got Bellerin in the team as well, and Kolasinac, who can really shift when he wants to. And we just weren't quick enough in transition today. And Burnley were so high up the pitch as well. Their defence was, you know, it was, I don't know, what, 10, 15 yards off the halfway line at times?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of space in behind. And it's that typical thing of, oh, wouldn't it be if we had Theo Walcott in the team? Would we be, you know, hitting the ball long and using it and, you know, trying to get in that space behind? But we didn't once try that with Laka or any of the other players. And it's not like him and Alexis didn't show to make those runs.
Well, I think Laka...
Yeah, go on.
I think Lacazette lacks pace to begin with. But one thing that does worry me, I think Hector Bellerin is awful today. I'm sorry, but you know, people can have a go at me here, but I do not think Hector Bellerin at the moment is playing good football. Okay, and what really concerns me about him is when he's got a space to run into. Okay, he doesn't get his head down and go for it. He does not, Ronaldo. He's, you know, he doesn't back himself to take on a player where he probably knows he's actually got the pace on them. You know, he can actually do it, but he, you know, it's always cut back inside. It's always, you know, slow build-up play, etc. You know, I'm really getting a bit frustrated with Hector, and I'm wondering how he decide. I just got such a light on because I'm like Luke's father again here. Sorry, pal. I'll be back now.
Just going off what Jason said. The chat. I don't know if anyone in the chat box notices as well. We do tend to go back a lot with the ball when we're not as quick in the. Well, in certain games, we don't move the ball as quickly as we used to. And he's back now. Hang on a second. Yeah, sorry, Jason. I was just saying to the chat box.
Yeah.
When it comes to Hector, I've got a concern at right back anyway, because if he goes down injured, we basically don't have anyone. You've got Debussy's come back from a long-term injury who I'd basically written off. And I think since he's come back, he's actually done okay. He's done all right.
Yeah.
But the fact that Arsene refused to play him at wing back and played Callum Chambers there for the Cologne game is a little bit worrying, and maybe he thinks he can't do that anymore, which means in my mind we haven't got any replacement for Hector, so maybe he's holding himself back a bit. Do you know what I mean? In his runs, because you see that when a player goes full sprint, their hamstring will just snap, and we've seen it with Ramsey and other players. You can get those injuries very quickly just from sprinting full pace. So maybe he's playing within himself a little bit, and they're telling Hector to not go full tilt because they really don't have cover there. That might be a little bit of an excuse for him. I do think attacking wise he's poor at times, and his decision making isn't good enough. But we've had this frustration with these quick players for years at Arsenal. How many times have you seen Theo Walcott with one man in front of him? Just kick the ball past him. You haven't got to do a trick. Just knock the ball around him and just run. You're going to beat him to the ball, you know. And Hector's the same. So, I don't know. I think
it's a bit concerning,
that might be. Yeah, I think that might actually that maybe is a little bit of it. Is the fact that we don't have cover. You can't push Hector too hard because I like Callum Chambers, but you can't stick him at wing back.
I really didn't understand the decision midweek to put him at wing back and put Debussy at centre half. I just don't understand it at all. I'm a bit worried about Arsene's decision making there. You know, you're looking at everybody. You know, I heard the radio show Thursday, and you know they're looking at Chambers as an also ran that we're going to move on. Well, Chambers gets in that England under 23 side ahead of Rob Holding every time. You know, he partners Alfie Mawson there. So, you know, you've got to develop these players. But Hector, even when he had acres of race, of space to run into on a couple of occasions, and we don't get round the flank, and we don't get down to the byline at all. And that's not good enough in my eyes. You know, no wonder Lacazette. You know, there was a point in the second half where Kolasinac, he had Ramsey holding back for the cutback, but he fired the ball across the box, and we had two players, Lacazette was one, and they weren't going for it, and that was, you know, that was frustrating. End of the second half, we had Cech made a good save from Brady from a free kick. Kolasinac, there was a Ramsey cross. And Kolasinac just doesn't hit the target. He should have done better, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I always get excited when he gets the ball now in the box. Because, you know, when you get those sort of, like you said earlier about the Monreal shot after a bit of sort of ping pong around in the box, I always feel if it falls to Kolasinac, he's just going to hit it so hard that it doesn't matter how many players are in front of it. He's just going to go bang, hit a player, grab another one, and just chuck them all in the back of the net with a ball. Because the way he hits it, a bit like, you know, Al Podolski used to. But yeah, he did that a couple of times. There was another one where he took it on. I think he caught it, and he, instead of taking it first time on his right foot, he tried to shift it onto his left, and a Burnley player got the block in. And if he hit it first time, then maybe he could have done a bit more with it. But I think that's it's that symptom of the way we play. And you see that as games go on, we become a little bit more pragmatic in our style. At the start of every game, we always try and do our nice passing, getting the perfect goal. We don't use the width very well. We always try and come back inside. All our players want to come into the middle, so they've got as many options as possible. Everyone looks to make the run to be the man, you know, out in a bit of space rather than the one going to get on and score the goal. And it gets really frustrating. And as the game goes on, then they go, oh no, we need to use the width a bit more and stretch them a little bit. So, yeah, I've really, for what it's worth, though, I do really like Kolasinac. And I think he had a couple of poor crosses today, but I thought he did well. He got forward as much as he could. Alexis didn't help him out a lot defensively. Same for Hector, the other side. He didn't get much help from Iwobi, which maybe curtailed their, you know, how much they could get forward today.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Right, in the box, we've got Little Boy Nabs, we've got Kelly Maher, we've got Marble Halls TV, Joe Madeira, 1993, Ishby, Jim Howson, Cayman Arsenal Forever. Mentioned Marble Halls TV. Omar Babalocchio, I think that's it. If I've butchered it, I'm sorry, mate. Stan the Man, 450. Chambers looks out of his depth at times. I don't think he's played that much, and you know he's come back from injury. It's difficult. Loki 73, Carlito Alcana. Yeah, I think I mentioned everybody else. Oh, and Steve Whittle's in there, and he's having a moan already. Steve, we've had to listen to you moan in the WhatsApp group. Now behave yourself.
Oh, he's done some crabs and some flags for me. Yeah.
Oh, yes, is he? Oh, Rudy Rastlos, AJ2. AJ2, there's a shout, son. Ibrahim Zubair. Hey, Kali. Ishbi. Oh, anybody else if I missed? Daniel Gordon. Got Daniel Gordon. Yao Antwi Adeji Hubert. If I've butchered that, I'm really sorry. Right, guys. As you can see, it's just me and John today. If you could give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. You know, Sahil Khan, you're there. If you could give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. If you want to give us a thumbs down, that'd be great. Stephen Edwards, we love you, Stephen Edwards. JPB3000. I mentioned Ishby, there you go. I mentioned everybody. Right, end of the first half, though, we've spoken about it already. Ramsey goes up for a challenge. I'm not sure who their player was. Super Baller X, you get a shout out. Mohamed Fauzi, you do. Big Nastri, Fahim Farhan. If I missed you, just shout out in there and I'll get to you. I do apologise. There's a coming together in the air. I thought that was, I thought that was fine. And yet he gives a free kick against Ramsey. How?
I didn't understand that at all. When he blew at first, I thought, oh, clash of heads, he's going to do like drop ball or something. Or just Burnley kick the ball back to Arsenal. So I think the ball sort of been cleared a little bit and like Monreal or Kolasinac or someone was picking it up. And then he gave the free kick again. I didn't get it at all. Ramsey came off the worst. There was nothing wrong with the challenge. Both players just went for the ball. And it's just one of those ones where Ramsey came off a little bit worse than the other. I think he was just a bit winded. Yeah, I don't get that at all. It's weird, actually. You don't hardly ever see the whole drop ball thing, do you, in football anymore? And I think there's plenty of times where two players just go for a ball, both get hurt, you have to stop play for a bit, no one's done anything wrong. And they should just leave it there for a contest or whatever. But, yeah, Lee Mason was not a good day for him.
No, I mean, the one thing that got me was, you know, it was a fair challenge from both players. I don't think, you know, they both had eyes on the ball. There's nothing wrong with it. Ramsey comes off the worst, but that's just life, you know. And, you know, it's a drop ball. Nobody's going to challenge that drop ball. You know, you pass it back to the keeper. You're not going to make a big deal at that because there is somebody on the floor. But I just didn't get him at all. Wael El Tayeb from greetings from Sweden. Nice to see a Swedish Guna there. Kevo Guna. Who else? Do. We've mentioned the McManus, haven't we?
Yeah.
We like the McManus. Toro Jr., Nikhil Naidu. And Nikhil Naidu actually mentions, should we have had a penalty for Bellerin? That goes on to the second half. But we'll come to that a bit later. We'll put that in the questions. Right. So second half kicks off, and we dominated, didn't we? We from the off, we were the better team. It was nice to see.
Yeah, it came out much more at it. Stretched the game more, went wider. Kolasinac and Bellerin stuck more to the, you know, we're getting chalk on the boots to try and move Burnley out and get them out of position a bit more. I thought Alexis became much more involved in the game. He really wasn't in the first half. He was staying more to his left-hand side than popping up on the right. I thought Iwobi improved as well. Lacazette had to drop a little bit deeper to get some involvement in the play, but it was good because he was dragging players out of position. Ramsey was better, and the one big noticeable difference I thought from the first half as well, particularly in our midfield, was Xhaka got on the ball a lot more. Oh, fuck me, Huddersfield are one up. Oh, go on, you beauty. Lovely stuff. Sorry.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, why not fucking... Who scored that? Come on, chat box, tell us, who scored for Huddersfield? Anyway. so what was I saying? Yeah, Xhaka, yeah. He got on the ball a lot more and was dictating the play a bit more. I don't think Burnley intentionally dropped off. I think we forced them back. We actually penned them back in, which was good for us because we were putting, you know, stamping ourselves in the game in the way we want to play football rather than the other way around. Burnley couldn't press us high up the pitch because they knew that if they lost the ball and got turned over, then they were in real trouble. It was so much more improved from the first half that I was really impressed. And you've got to give some credit to the manager because he's obviously said something at half-time. And the players have obviously taken note as well and know that they've got to perform better. And I thought from that point on, I wasn't so much worried about Burnley scoring a goal. It was more a case of, are we gonna go on to get a winner? Or, you know, or are we going to just end up with a draw here? It was, you know, how long will it take us to break them down? Because I thought if we can keep the pressure up, then maybe we'll be able to tire them out and nick something towards the end.
Yeah, you know, we looked a lot more comfortable on the ball. We got a grip of that three-man midfield. I thought Xhaka and Ramsey looked really good together at times. You know, you had Ramsey's movement. Sanchez was vastly improved in the second half as well. I thought he really looked busy, you know, in the first half. I think he struggled in the first half. I think, you know, they were on top of him. We had a Lacazette effort. There was a great tackle from Xhaka. And then Jack came on for a Iwobi. And I thought that had been coming for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, that had been coming for quite some time.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was him that came on first, you know, and not a Welbeck. There wasn't really anything else in terms of attacking options that you could bring off from the bench. I think the only other midfielder we had was Maitland-Niles and Coquelin. So the manager didn't have a whole lot of choice in attacking options. But yeah, I was surprised it was Jack first. But because of the way the game was going and Burnley was starting to sit on the back foot a little bit more, starting to sit a bit deeper, weren't pressing us as high. You need a player who's got a little bit of skill and can work in those tight, small spaces, the little one-twos and stuff. And Jack's got that ability. I like Jack and everything, and I know there's some people who want him to start and some people don't think he's good enough. I still think he's got something to offer. I'm not sure whether it will be good enough to get him a contract or not with the club, say come January. But, you know, I thought when he came on, he tried to make things happen. He pinged some passes around and tried to get some little one-twos and stuff going and had a few shots as well. So it definitely, I think he upped the tempo a little bit from Iwobi, who really looked like he was struggling throughout the game. And when he came off as well, actually, he looked a little bit, it wasn't so much out of puff. He looked like maybe he caught a knock or something. So I don't know if anyone's seen any news on that, but he didn't look too, you know, pleased with the way he walked off the pitch.
I don't know. He couldn't have been too pleased with his performance because it was crap. it was. I'm sorry. You know, the big difference when Jack came on, and this is one of the things where, you know, for those who don't like Aaron Ramsey, the reason I love Aaron and, you know, I like Jack Wilshere, they're always brave. They always want the ball. I thought Jack came deep when he needed to, when it was needed by us to win the ball. You know, you had players offering themselves a bit more. And so therefore, we had an out ball every time and we were able to utilise that. And that's what, you know, pushed them back. I think that was the big thing in pushing them back. The out ball for whoever had the ball at the time was always on. We always had somebody showing. I think, you know, the one thing with Lacazette as well, he got played through it. I don't think it was particularly a great pass from Ramsey, but when he was running onto the ball, he had the two Burnley centre-halves on him, and they were as quick as him, you know. Mm. Yeah, the one thing about Lacazette, his pace is all up in his top 2 inches. You know, his thought process is far ahead of a lot of other players who play up top. And I, Patel, we don't do player ratings, mate. We don't do it. So, tough. I'm not interested in it.
Jace, it was a Otamendi own goal. See, it doesn't matter where Man City are winning or losing, they still score all the goals.
they do, don't they? The team made up for it. Bellerin had a penalty shout then, John.
Yeah, that one was weird because first time I saw it, I just thought, who was it? Was it Brady? I think it was Brady again. I thought, he's just made a good block. And then as they've both slid along, he's followed through and took Bellerin out. And then when you saw on a replay, he didn't touch the ball. And so I think he took Bellerin went down. Then the ball sort of shot up off Bellerin, then off Brady himself afterwards. I was like, no, that is a penalty. I think in real time, it's easy not to give that. I mean, I didn't think it was a penalty in real time. And I think from where Lee Mason was on the replay, I don't think there's any way he's going to call that or give that. The one thing you got to question is that's the linesman's side of the pitch. So he should really be flagging that. He's got a clear view on that, on what's going on there. But when you see that at full speed, it does look like it's just the typical player slid in, blocked the shot, and they've tumbled afterwards. And to be fair, Bellerin was the only one who appealed the penalty. The other Arsenal players weren't appealing it.
Knight Patel, look at him, yeah? Don't tell me what you do and don't do. We're all gunners and do player ratings now.
I like him
a lot. Knight Patel, you get my man in the match. That's ballsy. Well played. I think the one thing with the Bellerin penalty, he kind of asked for it, but you know, not really with any vigour, okay? I think it was impossible from Lee Mason to give it from where he was stood.
Yeah.
You know, I think he would have really been guessing. Turnip surprise. How many shits do you not give about people mourning about the controversial penalty call? I tell you what, mate. It's not shits, it's fucks I don't give about it. You know, it's hilarious watching the dirty northern monkeys upset. It was fantastic. But I think as well, because of the angle of two players came in, I think it was tough for the Lino as well.
Yeah, it's so easy to criticise, you know, the referees and stuff and linesmen in games, but they get one look at it at full speed from the angle they're at. They don't get, you know, two commentators saying something that might influence your opinion straight away. They're not going to be biased, or at least you hope they're not going to be biased in their thoughts about whether it is a penalty or not. Whereas obviously if you're an Arsenal fan, you're going to lean towards it being a penalty straight away. And they don't get all the replays and everything else. So sometimes you have got to come a little bit of slack. But in the end, you know, we did get one and we won the game. So you can't complain too much. And then, we had this discussion already this season about some games you're not going to get decisions, other ones you are. We had the Man City game where we didn't get the offside goal that was given against us, David Silva one. But then you look at the Spurs game. I know some people don't think it was a foul and think it wasn't offside. Well, personally, I thought it weren't a foul and I thought he was offside, but I couldn't give a shit because we got the goal and fuck you, Spurs. So, you know, you do get it both ways. Whether it balances out over a season is another thing, but you're not going to get every decision go your way. It's just life.
No, absolutely. We got Jove 82 in the box, Martin Staines in the box, Sonny B, Who else is there? Who else? There was somebody else. Nai Patel's still going on. He's still going on. Estrogen 975. Boy 10 Dio is in the box. Ah, there we go. Yeah. It's a difficult one. That one didn't go away, but I thought it would have been tough for the tough for the officials to give that one.
Yeah.
Then we go back onto the class. And I, we do not abuse each other in this chat box, okay? Joke, but let's try to behave ourselves. Yeah, you're the class in that cross where nobody's following up on it. I was really disappointed in us at that point. You know, surely somebody has got to... Surely somebody by then has got to sort of get in and get on the end of that.
It happens all season. We get so fed up with it. We get the typical, at some point we're going to get the, you know, if Giroud's playing, you know, at some point in the game, you're going to get the Giroud putting in a cross that Giroud would like to be on the end of. You know, you always get that in a game. You get the Lacazette puts in a cross that Lacazette would like to be on the end of. And then I think sometimes if you're the Arsenal striker, you must get so fed up making that run over and over again, whether it's the front post or the back stove, that the cross doesn't come in first time. And then you're like, right, got to readjust, get back onside, go again. No, it's gone back out again. And they're just pinging the ball about, crabbing it about, as Steve likes to say. And eventually they get the cross in. And by that point, you're so fed up with it. You're just not making the movement. I know you still should, but it's... I don't know why... But I'd love to see just sometimes when Bellerin or Kolasinac, when they get the ball, even if they're not at the 18-yard box yet, if they're 5-10 yards back from it, you've got the ability to whip the ball in. Just do it first time. Because when you've got players as smart as Lacazette, they're quick enough to know this is what's going to happen. I can get, you know, a yard or two in front of my centre-back to get there first. Giroud is good enough in the air to do that. Welbeck's quick enough to get on the end of things. Ramsey makes those late runs in so you can get him on the back stick, you know, that kind of thing. And we just don't exploit the ability we have in our team. And it's a constant frustration that's just not going to go away, I don't think, for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where it's alongside counter-attacking, when you've got the ball from a set piece in your own box, we're not sharp enough there and we don't get enough bodies in. We don't get enough bodies in, which is a bit frustrating, you know. And we had a good effort from Wilshere deflected. Oof, that summed them up all game. They, you know, in the same way Mustafi, I'm not sure if it was the first or second half, chucked his body in front of the ball. You had their defensive setup. They were all about getting their body in front of anything that they could. I thought I was really impressed with Burnley on that. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's again, like Pope was complete. He was just like a rock. He couldn't move, could he? He's just hoping it weren't going to deflect in. And yeah. I thought Jack impressed me a little bit when he came on because he brought some impetus into the team. He was brave enough to take shots, which is another thing that we complain about sometimes. You know, when the space opens up in front of you, just have a dig. We saw that a couple of times in the Cologne game as well. Although he wasn't particularly great in that one, to be fair. I liked the drive he brought in today and the fact he was trying to make something happen. And on another day, you know, that deflection goes slightly different and bounces inside the post and we get a goal early on. I think the thing with that game is as soon as we got the goal, I think it was only going to go one way because I don't think Burnley have got the ability to come back necessarily in a game. I think they've got the ability to hold on to a 0-0. Well, not today, obviously. But, you know, they've normally got the ability to hold on to a 0-0 or maybe go in front and hold on to that. But they definitely haven't got the ability to come back from it. So it was just a case of trying to break them down. And sometimes you just have to just keep pushing and try and get a bit of luck or, you know, anything, you know, a bit of a spill here, deflection there, whatever you can do. Just get on the end of something.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, you know, Zeich then makes a substitution where he brings on, what's his name, Wood, Chris Wood.
The
Kiwi striker.
Yeah.
That summed them up all day. They were brave. They were trying to play football. You know, I've got to be honest, I was quite impressed with Burnley today. I mean, as much as their fans should learn a new fucking song, honest to God. And they're... players, let's be fair. But, you know, I thought Sean Dyche was brave with his selection and his setup. I thought it took a particularly good performance from us back to front. You know, okay, we were a bit frustrating up top, but defensively, you know, I thought Mustafi was great again, Koscielny was great again, Monreal was great again. You know, to sort of win that game. And if you look at it, you know, they've beaten Chelsea, they've drawn with Spurs and Liverpool away, you know, Man City beat them 3-0, but they're a decent side, aren't they?
Yeah, whether they can, you know, hold their position sort of this lofty high in the table till the end of the season will be another thing. But if they get a top 10 finish, that's really good for a club like Burnley. I think, you know, as much as some of their players were a little bit dirty today, and maybe there's an argument maybe that Brady could have been sent off, you know, if he gets the yellow card for the high boot, which he didn't get, you know, for the studs up, he should have got that. And then you've got the penalty as well that wasn't given, then he could have been off the pitch. But I think, you know, he's actually quite a good player. Gudmundsson, who's the Icelandic, who's in the national team, wasn't he? That did really well.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some decent players. And Barnes is, yes, he's a big brute and he's a big lump, but some of his touches today were really impressive. So I thought they were good. But we matched them as best we could. We struggled a little bit first half, you know, but we got our blocks in and Cech made the saves when he had to. We weren't punished. And, you know, second half, I thought we came out with a better attitude, then pressured them. And I do agree, you know, Dyche was brave bringing on a second striker. But I actually think, whether it would have cost him in the game or not, obviously, because it ended up being the centre-back who made the mistake, I do think that gave up a lot of possession for them. And that's maybe was the wrong decision for them in the end, because losing that extra man in midfield really made a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, that's the one thing. When Defoe went off, you know, I thought him and Cork were brilliant throughout the game. You know, I thought they battled really well. You know, it's the one side of it where you just think, and it's a brave decision by Dyche. It was the wrong decision because I think, you know, it just allowed us to build up more momentum, more pressure. You know, Well, let's get on to it. We had a shot from Ramsey blocked and then the penalty. And the boy Tarkowski, I thought he got away with quite a bit during the game. He went through the back of Lacazette early doors, but he clearly pushes Ramsey in the penalty box. Oh, Olivia, Anay Patel, I thought you were funny earlier on. Now you're being a twat, okay? You're being a twat, and this is what we do to twats. Goodbye.
Oh, Welsh justice.
Honest to God, okay? I tell you one thing now, okay? I don't, you know, we can have an argument in that box, but the box has been really good today. They've had a bit of fun, you know, there's lots of disagreement. You know, the chat box has been superb for a while, but if somebody's going to come in there and be a twat, they're going.
Yep.
Okay? They're going. And you know, you know, what a fucking monkey. What a fucking monkey. And hey, if you listen back to this, you're a twat. Twat. Okay? Don't bother coming back. You will get thrown out again and again and again. I can do this all day long. Fucktards. Absolute fucktards. Right, okay, so it's a clear push on Ramsey, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so confusing. So I'm watching the game. We're all chatting about it in our little WhatsApp group as it's going on. Like looking at the clock, and I'm like, ugh, this is done. Corner coming in. Every corner we've had, Burnley have cleared it. They've been the first one to the ball, and they're just going to hoof it up the pitch. Maybe Wood can hold it up for a bit. And I was like, yeah, whistle's going to be, that'll be it. It's going to be banned. Banned. So fucking seeing banned in the chat. I'm saying banned instead of final whistle, sorry. And then why? I mean, like, brilliant that he's made the push for us. Clearly, he's fantastic because we get the penalty and we get the goal, obviously. But what on earth was the Burnley defender doing? I've got no idea because I'm looking at, like, when I first saw it and the rest blown, I was like, hey, he's giving a penalty. And I put it in the chat. He's sort of like 30 seconds behind or whatever because, you know, he's not over here and watching, you know, on streams and stuff. And he's like, why is he giving that? I don't know. And then you see the replay of it. It's like, why is he pushing Ramsey?
Yeah.
At most, Ramsey might be able to get a flick on, possibly.
Yeah.
And that's the best he's going to get out of it.
I don't think he could get to the ball.
Yeah, I really didn't understand it at all. And it was so clear as well. And it's funny as well, because it's that, it's the weird thing where the amount of times you see it in the box, like shirt pulling, little pushes, anything like that, they never give those sort of things normally. But it was so blatant. Like, it was so obvious. And don't get me wrong, Ramsey did make sure the ref saw it, like, as clear as soon as he, like, felt the nudge, he was like, whoa, you know, he's doing the, what do you call it, Angel of the North thing up there for him. It's just, I really didn't understand what the lad was doing, because he'd done a few tackles that, were a little bit naughty, maybe he got away with. But other than that, he'd had a really good game, and I was quite impressed with him. I was like, oh, I didn't really, I haven't seen a lot of him. Just absolutely bizarre. If you're a Burnley fan, you must be absolutely livid with him.
Hold up, we got another arsehole in the box. ITZ James, you can go fuck yourself as well. Goodbye.
Honestly. Oh, was he saying it was Ramsey? It wasn't Ramsey. It was Ramsey, you tit. Ramsey was the one who got pushed. Oh, dear. Never mind. Yeah.
I don't know what's the matter with people. But again, okay, I think Tarkowski had got away with a bit throughout.
Yeah,
he got away with going through the back of Lacazette. He got away with, with some pushes here and there. I think he thought he would, he just was not gonna get penalised for anything. But when you've got in front of Lee Mason, you got two hands going out pushing a player in the box. It's like, dude. Are you retarded? Sorry, yeah. I shouldn't use that word. I'm not going to use that word. Are you an idiot? Sorry. Yeah. Are you an idiot, okay? And it was the clearest penalty I've ever seen.
That's like shades of, I don't know, that's Stepanov's level.
Yeah, but what really got me then is Tarkowski has a go at Ramsey. So Ramsey has a go back at him. There's handbags everywhere, okay? It's like looking at Chris Carpenter's Twitter timeline. There's blood. he's disagreeing with everyone. A few of the boys get involved, which is quite nice to see. It wasn't going to be anything serious, but the cheeky fuckers moaning.
If he's like Ashley Barnes over there, you can sort of see him going, "Hang on a minute. That Spanish geezer's done me in the box in the first half, and you've given nothing." All right, yeah, he's offside, yeah. But Barnes ain't going to say that, is he? But I really don't know what their lad was doing, the Burnley defender. I've got no idea. But yeah, if you're a Burnley fan, you've got to be fucking miserable now, because like they came out, they played really well, and then they sort of. You thought, oh, they're going to sit back and just go for a draw. Then your manager throws on another striker, takes a man out of midfield. Fucking hell, he's going for it. He's going to try and get a win against Arsenal. This is kind of ridiculous. And they think, oh, okay, well, time's nearly up. Point, that's a really good result against Arsenal. And then you chuck it again. That's the third time against Arsenal, like in the last minute, that we scored a goal. And Sanchez has got some bottle.
I think it's Jim Breslin that makes a point. Ashley Barnes have been diving all game, okay? And do I think Ramsey made the most of it? Yeah, I think he did. But if Tarkowski is stupid enough back in the box, and let's be honest, it was the stupidest challenge I've seen in a long time. It was a la Coughlin against Tottenham in the corner going two-footed on Harry Kane. It was that stupid, okay?
There were so many other things he could have done, you could have just stood on Ramsey's foot or, jumped up for the header so you've missed it and maybe fall on top of him. So many easy ways to, sort of cheat him out of getting near the ball, which I don't think he was getting anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And then for him to moan about it, that was the bit which got me. For the cheeky twat. How stupid are you, pal? You need to have a long hard look at yourself. Unbelievable. And if Sean Dyche is playing the victim on Match of the Day, as Steve's saying, okay, well, he should be ashamed of himself, because they've got nobody to I they've got nobody to blame but themselves. But as you say, what bottle? You know, last minute, and the guy steps up. Pope guesses the right way, and isn't far off.
I thought he was going to get a hand to it. Yeah,
yeah.
It was but yeah, I don't know. I was like, oh, it's going to be Alexis, because at first I thought, oh, Lacazette's gone off, because I would have been like, yeah, Lacazette will take it. He scores penalties all day long. It'll be fine. And I was like, oh. And my mind immediately went to Welbeck, and I went, no! I was just like, and I was like, oh no, so fine. Alexis, of course, he'll just take the ball. He takes the ball and does whatever he wants with it. It's just the way he is. But yeah, brilliant. And he's, he was frustrating in the first half. I thought he was much better second half. He was whinging at times and doing his thing, like beating the ground when people weren't making the passes. Even if it wasn't for him, and like Lacazette had made a run and he saw that someone should have passed it to him. Yeah, just that little bit of anger and aggression. That's what I love about Alexis. And he always wants to win. Doesn't matter. He always wants to win. It's great. And then, you know, like, that was it when it game done. My favourite bit of the game, just after the final whistle, is the Burnley players are having a whinge again. Jack's only been on 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jack is cunting every single one of them off. Just telling them all to fuck off and having a moment.
But
he was ready for a tear-up straight away.
I think the whole team was, you know, you saw the way after Alexis buries the penalty, they're all over to the fans, and they know they've come through a tough day at the office. They've shown real mental strength. They've shown real strength around the pitch. Okay, you know, that Burnley team's a decent team. They're a really decent team. But they've all stood up to it. You know, you had Ramsey going straight back at Tarkowski after he starts pissing and moaning like a little bitch. You know, and there are players in straight away. And it kind of sums up, I think they've been through a tough time. They know they've let themselves down. But, you know, they're having a go. And they're having a go together as a team, aren't they? Which is really nice.
It's really good to see. They seem to, I think, because of the criticism they've been getting, and the manager as well. And, you know, we're not shy on here to criticise Arsene Wenger for the things he do, but I think the players do still have a lot of respect for him. They do appreciate all the things he's done for them. They may not necessarily agree with him all the time on certain things, and maybe some of the players he keeps and stuff, but they still respect him as a man. And I think sometimes they feel like they've let him down. And he takes all the flack, generally. Let's be honest, the players don't get, we're guilty of it, in fact, of maybe not giving the players enough stick at times and maybe sticking too much on the manager. So, you know, they needed a response, and the Spurs win was huge. You know, that was really
massive.
Big. And I think the fact that they've kind of kept the first team away from the Europa League, and it's, maybe, you know, whether they see it as a lesser competition or whatever else, they've kind of just kept them focused, right? This, you're going to go into the league, do as best as we can. You know, we want top four. We'd like to challenge for the title if we can. Whether that happens or not is another thing. I still think Man City probably are the favourites in that. But, you know, we're going to do as best I can, and then you've got the FA Cup and everything else that comes on with it. It's kept him isolated from anything to do with the Europa League. So they didn't really care about the Cologne result. It didn't affect him in any way. And that Spurs gave him a real boost and sort of self-belief. Yeah. And I saw a really interesting thing someone actually put about fitness levels with the team. The fact that because we haven't got Champions League, and you've seen this with other clubs where they've got no European competition, they're obviously a lot fitter throughout the season because they've got less games, it's obvious. But how you have two peaks of real fitness throughout the season. In the Spurs game, we looked a lot fitter towards the end of the game than Spurs did, which hasn't been the case for the last couple of years. Because we haven't had those Champions League games, which are more intense than Europa League, and some of the first team players have been here, they've got a bit more in their legs and they've got a bit more fight about them. And I think also because of last season, because they disappointed so much in terms of the league anyway, I think they all feel like they have got something to prove a little bit. You know, I think maybe there are a few players in that team who think Alexis and Mesut, are they all that? Should they really be here? Are they going to mess us about and just leave at the end of their contract? I'm going to prove I'm better than them and more important. I'm going to be the big star now. You know, I want to step up. And, you know, all right, they're not playing as well as they can. Don't get me wrong, I still think we can play better than we have been this season. But they're all starting to get those, I don't want to get overexcited about it, but those games where it's a little bit more grindy and you really have to work hard for it and it's not going to be easy, they're the sort of performances you want to see more often. You know, it's not as exciting as watching a 4 or 5 nil where you demolish a team and blitz past them. But sometimes when you have to really grind out a result and get a 1-0, that's just as good as a performance.
Well, but here's a question for you then. Do you think, it's a pointless one because we did win that game last season, home and away. Mm. Do you know what I mean? The hoodoo sign over Burnley for some reason, and it's always last minute. But, you know, it's one of those where you kind of look at it and you just kind of think, in Burnley play. You know, I thought Burnley were really good. Let's give them the bit of credit that they deserve. As much as the dirty little fouling bunch of gets at times. And, you know, the attitude after the penalty was just pathetic. We were mentally strong. We were really together as a unit. And that side of it, okay, was just really, it was really impressive to see. You know,
it's refreshing really to see from that team that we haven't seen enough. That kind of resolve and fight back and stuff in times. You need to see it. It's not that it's easy to do against Burnley, because like you said, I thought they were very good today and they've proved so far this season that they're a decent side. But we need to do it, like Marble Horse TV said, you know, you've got to do it against the big teams as well, where you're struggling, you know, and it's going to be difficult and it's going to be a bit of a grind. So if we can see that kind of attitude and things against, say, United coming up, stuff like that, then we know we've got something, you know, got something going and something good to look forward to this season.
That's the next big one, isn't it? United is going to be massive for us, and if we can back the last two victories up and go on and do United, then yes, there's, you know, that will be something. You know, then we could, you know, we have to kick on into Christmas then and really perform. But you know, I was really pleased with the way we came back from that, because that was a hostile atmosphere up there. You know, on your point of view, those Burnley fans are either magnificent or they are. I kind of liked it, to be honest with you. You know, but they need to learn a new song.
Yeah,
they really need to learn a new song. Same old Arsenal always cheating my ass. You know, They got away with more than they should have today. Right. Let's go to questions. John, first question. Let's have a look. Okay, it's from that black guy. Hey, gents, just a question. Is it becoming a tradition to fuck Burnley in the last minute of each match now? That's the best question of the day.
It certainly seems like it. So I think it's last three games, it's been 90th minute or 90 plus. I think, was it last season? It was the 98th minute or something, like in injury time, that goal. It's, I don't know why it's, I think it's a case of, particularly the away games anyway, Burnley are a decent defensive team. They're very difficult to break down. They're well drilled, kind of, I guess, Pulis-esque in the way that they can, you know, hold teams off and make it difficult for you, if you like. So it's a nice tradition. Well, I said it's a nice tradition when we win. That's great. It puts your nerves on edge until the last minute. But it is nice when you get a last minute winner in a really scrappy game like that. It wasn't a controversial decision. It was a clear penalty, but just the fact it winds up the other fans, it's always funny. It makes it a little bit extra. And I think if you're, I've only ever done, like 3 or 4 away games or something like that. And I've never been to an away game where it's been like that, like last minute winner. But for the away fans, that must be amazing, because you've gone all that way. It's, you know, it's fucking, it's cold and miserable up there. It ain't nice. And then you get that winner in the very, very last.
Wait there. Ed Zig, or whatever your name is. You're a fucktard. You're an absolute fucktard. Now fuck off.
Is that a hat-trick, Chase? I think that's a hat-trick, mate.
Yeah, that's four now. That's four
Is
now.
Is that four? Oh.
Yeah, that's four. Galib Designs, say hello. Yeah, we're saying hello to you. Danny Riffia. Danny Reffy, Arsenal fan, Gunashai 77. Oh, I tell you what. I enjoy. There's a lot of good people in this chat box. It's a shame there's a couple of twats, isn't it?
You can't, but you might get one or four.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those. I tell you what's the funniest part of that for me. That's all I could do at the end of the game is just laugh at them. I could just laugh at them, you know. I mean, what the hell are they doing?
It's. Yeah, I honestly, I was because for anyone watching, there was a great voice note in WhatsApp, and it was just Jason laughing. Everyone knows Jason's laugh; it's a great laugh, and it was just 30 seconds of him laughing nonstop. It weren't put on; it was all natural. It was fantastic, and yeah,
it's just
I'm sat here. I'm just sat here in complete shock. I'm still looking at the game. I'm just watching the replay over and over again, going, "What is he doing? I don't understand. Why has he done that? This is amazing. How have we won this game? I thought this was 0-0 all over it, and just Jason laughing in the background on my phone. Superb. Just summed up the game. Brilliant."
I just couldn't believe because I thought that was a good game of football. You know, that was a really good game of football. And for them to be so stupid in the last minute, well, they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
What they deserved. And you know, I got no sympathy for any of them. You know, they can all go fuck themselves, you know. You know, if they want to be a cool brother, and we know you don't like Arsene Wenger, okay, but stop spamming the box, bro. Need your point. You want him out, fair enough. What? He's not going to go anywhere. So relax, buddy. Relax. It's all good. Right. Okay. So let's just get a question. Let's fly through some questions then.
Sure.
Stephen Edwards asks, I get Welbeck needs minutes, but given the game situation, should the sub have been Giroud? Now, I don't know what your thoughts on this are, pal, but I think the one thing we lacked up top today was a bit of pace. You know?
The thing is, Welbeck needs time. That's true. He needs to get minutes in his legs. The thing is, he would have been better from the start of the game because of the space that Burnley left in behind him. As the game went on, it closes up a little bit and there's less space for him to run into. So actually, I kind of do get Stephen Edwards' point because at that point, sometimes you need a Giroud to play off or someone who you can hit in the box with crosses and stuff. And maybe he wins a knockdown for a Ramsey running in or, you know, does his little nice 1-2s off of Wilshire and stuff like that. So there's maybe an argument for it. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter in the end because we've got the 3 points, which is the most important thing. I'll be interested to see, like we said earlier, like will Welbeck jump ahead of Iwobi in the pecking order in terms of like the first one to be into the 11 when Ozil or Alexis or whoever isn't available. The interesting thing will be, does he jump ahead of Giroud as well as a striker again, or will he get played more, you know, left or right hand side? You know, do you know what I mean?
I tell you what, there's a couple of northern monkeys obviously in the chat box, and if that's the type of people you are, you're just a bunch of twats. You really are. You know, I'm not being funny. You're not just pathetic. You're just moronic. Goodbye, ta-da. You know, you're absolutely pathetic. So there you go. I think you're right. You know, we need the pace from the start, but you know, in all fairness, Welbeck did okay when he came on. He wasn't great, but we were dominating by then, weren't we?
Yeah, I think at that, when we get to those points in games, the striker kind of struggles a little bit to get involved. Partly because of the way the formation and stuff we play, but because we're trying to move the ball a bit quicker and everything else, the striker just kind of has to wait to get the ball. And you can't really affect it too much. It's not like he can drag the defence around because they're sat on the edge of their 18-yard box, so they can't really move them that much. He can run the channels if he wants, but then he's running into the space of the, you know, the wing backs, and maybe the two behind him all take up those positions as well. So I think it's difficult for any striker in our team at the moment, just partly because of the way we play, especially when we come against opponents who later on in games are just going to sit so deep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? Okay, Jim Housen asks, What do you guys think of Klaassen actually attacking? A silly idea. Could he be an attacking winger? Not for me. I like his brutality, the way he sort of plays, and the way he's very physical and he gets stuck in. But I don't think he's quite got enough pace. I don't think, you know, I think he's fine where he is as a wing back, or if he's going to play left back, because I think he'll get up and down, he'll form that extra man. But I don't think he's quite got enough craft. What are your thoughts, John?
I'm not sure as a winger. I think sometimes when you're a winger, you get the ball and you don't necessarily get it to run in behind. You sometimes receive it with a player tight on you, and then you've got to get out of the tight space and then deliver the cross. I do think actually one thing you could see him maybe get utilised in is in midfield, like as an actual DM.
Yeah.
Because I do think his passing is good enough. And he's clearly physically strong enough and that kind of thing. But I think that would only be if you played a three-man midfield. You'd have to have two other midfielders with him, with more technical ability. But I could see him patrolling in front of a back four, that kind of thing. I think he's got the ability for that. But for now, I mean, I just leave him where he is. I think he's doing a great job, and I've been really pleased with him since he's come into the team. He's slid in there very comfortably, and I think he's adapted well and seems to be getting on with everyone in the squad quite well as well.
Yeah. Nikhil Naidu, we've answered that. Chris Jones asks, is Mustafi our new defensive general? Our defence looks more assured with him in the centre of the back three.
He's a lot more vocal than Koscielny, that's for sure. I don't know, maybe is that a German thing? Him and Purse both seem to have that. So I think Arsene said that in his, I don't know if he put it, I don't know if it was on the website or on his programme notes today, he said the same thing. He likes how vocal he is. He likes to throw himself in front of a shot, block shots and stuff. And I think the way we play our back three, not every back three does this, but it allows Nacho and Koscielny to get forward, and they've got that natural athletic ability to do that, and their distribution is quite good as well. So, yeah, I think Mustafi's been really impressive since he's come back in. I know people were a little bit down on him. And maybe that rumour about him wanting to leave or being asked if he wants to leave the club, maybe it's kicked him up the arse a little bit and woken him up a bit, because his performances since then have really improved.
I've never kind of understood the criticism. Okay, yes, he does go to ground too quickly sometimes. Totally agree with that. You know, now and again, he does. Fife brought that up last season. But actually, he's a great communicator, and he really, you know, he holds that back, our defence, together.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cos is not a natural communicator. He's just not. He's an introvert, and you can't do anything about that. That's just how the man is. I think Monreal is quite vocal, but I think Mustafi's brought a bit more substance to it. So yeah. Long may it continue, and long may they improve as a unit. Not Forever asks, what is our biggest need in the January transfer window besides getting mad money for Sanchez and Ozil?
I still think it's a central midfielder. I think we need someone to come in and compete with Ramsey and Xhaka. Xhaka would be the first one out of the two I'd drop at the moment. I know some people have said, you can put Jack in there. I don't think you can play Jack that deep. I think Jack does need to play further ahead. So I think that would be my pick for what needs to come in. Who that is, I've got no idea. I have no problem with Elneny being a squad player. I think he's proven in the Europa League he's been useful. You know, he's played centre-back. He can play centre-mid, I think, in maybe the next game, if it means that you could play Willock and Maitland-Niles as centre mid, you could chuck Elneny as a wing back if you want, you know, just to have an experienced head in the side or whatever is that kind of utility. But there's not enough pressure in that position in the park. I think in terms of forwards and stuff, we're heavy loaded at the moment whilst we've got Ozil and Alexis. And I think the defence is okay. The other one looked at, we mentioned earlier, maybe right back. If Arsene doesn't trust Debuchy to play there, then we really have got no cover for Bellerin, and it's only been Reece Nelson's the only one who's consistently putting performances in a position that's not really his natural position at all. He's not a defender, and I think it's unfair to ask a kid that young to play out a position in the Premier League. I think that'd be a really bad idea.
Yeah, I got to be honest too. I think another central midfielder challenge would be a good idea. I, you know, that's the mainstay. I mean, it all depends what happens with Sanchez and Ozil, because I think you are, if they do go, you've got to replace them. But, you know, the drop off from Ramsey and Xhaka to Coquelin and Nene is too big.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, what is Coquelin doing in this squad? I have no idea. And then he's a decent enough utility player, but he's not really of the standard we need. Jack, I don't see Jack fitting in that, like yourself. If he's a three-man midfield, I think, you know, yes, you can accommodate Jack.
Yeah.
It doesn't put so much pressure on him, but I'm not, you know, I don't see Jack getting ahead of anybody, and I think we need a bit more competition there. Okay. Okay, Dave Faber, the wonderful Dave Faber asks, it will be ahead of Jack in the pecking order, agree or disagree? What do you think?
Oh, go on, Jace, you go first.
I don't understand how Iwobi gets into this side at the moment. I don't think he offers you enough. Don't think he's delivering at the moment on his talent. He's obviously a talented player, right? He is a talented player. You know, there's no question about that. But you know, he's not doing enough when he does get in the team. You know, he didn't do enough midweek. He didn't do enough today. His decision making is not up to standard. And you know, he's got a wonderful pair of feet, but he needs to get fitter. He needs to improve. I don't know if that means a loan spell for him, because I think I think that would improve him regular minutes. I think as somebody's already said, you know, regular minutes may help him, but he's got to improve. So I would pick Jack ahead of Iwobi at the moment.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't think Jack, I mean, today he was good when he came on, but it was for a brief spell, and it's when we were in control of the game, so it's a little bit easier for him. But, you know, he didn't do anything midweek. I don't think he's been particularly amazing in the Europa League. In fact, I think most of the senior players, to be honest, the senior players in that lineup that have been playing have been pretty poor. It's been the young kids who have been the really impressive ones. So I'd give Jack a go, yeah. I don't think you're going to see him in the Man United game. From the start anyway, you know, I'd imagine it's going to be this lineup, but Ozil will be in for Iwobi, basically. But yeah, I'd give him
Welbeck will start ahead. Yeah, Welbeck will start ahead of Alexis, I think, in the United game.
Ooh.
Ahead of Ozil, if Ozil's,
oh, right,
if Ozil's,
yeah,
not.
Okay. I can see that. But yeah, I'd give Jack a Premier League start, and you just got to see how he does. I don't think you play him in the two. Again, agree with Jason. If he plays in midfield, I think it has to be a three-man midfield. He can't play in a two. I don't think he's got the ability to do it anymore. So, yeah, give him one of those positions behind the striker. He naturally drops in a little bit anyway, so it kind of makes it like a three-man midfield just because of the way he plays. The one issue I have with him when he does play there is he's kind of lack of cover for the wing-back, which he's got to work on a bit more. But yeah, we'll just have to see how it goes with Jack, because it's not a question of his ability. Everyone knows he's got it. It's consistency and being fit enough and actually putting in the performances, which I hope to see in the Europa League, and he just hasn't quite done it yet.
No, I mean, I genuinely am shocked at some of the sort of rave reviews he's had in Europa League. You know, the talent's there. We can all see his talent, but you know, and I know those teams have been disjointed, and he's not alone in not fulfilling his potential there. But you know, he's a better player than he's shown so far. That's all I've got to say.
I do just want to say one thing on Jack, which I think, I don't know if people have noticed it or whether it's just me. I think one of the issues with the Europa League team is obviously the ability of the players around him is a lot lower, but he still plays exactly the same way that he would if it was Alexis and Ozil and whatever else on the pitch. So sometimes he doesn't get the return balls he wants and they're misplaced, and then Jack again gets caught out of position. But I think another weird thing I don't know if you noticed this, Jase. He's still playing as if we're the Arsenal team that's got Fabregas in the side. Do you know what I mean? When we played that 4-3-3, very technical. We had lots of number 10s. We had Rizikis, all those kind of players. And we aren't that team anymore. We don't play that style of football anymore. I'm not saying that Jack can't play a different style of football. He's clearly very talented. And he's got to be able to. But I think he's got to get out of that mentality a little bit, because we really don't play that way at all anymore.
I think the
players that we do have that can play that, he's not going to get to play with very often, because they're going to be ahead of him in the pecking order, the likes of Ozil and Lacazette and that.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is, you know, what I've seen, he'll always show for the ball, but I don't think his movement is great midweek. Post for the ball, but he's not trying to get beyond play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, our game is all about having runners, and you know, he's not quite, his movement's not quite up to muster at the moment, but you can never knock his bravery. He always wants the ball. You know, I love that about him. You know, I think it's a great credit to him, but he's not kind of acting like the senior player he should be at the moment. You know, he's always there for a ruck. He's always there, you know, trying to get involved, but he needs to be running into space, you know, stretching teams a little bit more for me.
Yeah.
So that's what I
agree.
Thierry Ronry asks, please discuss Santi. Will we ever see him again?
No idea. Probably not, in all likelihood. I'd love to see him put an Arsenal shirt on again. I think it'd be great, even if it's just for 10 minutes. If it was, I don't know, last game of this season, he gets to put the shirt on, or last home game, gets a big, nice applause from the crowd, like standing ovation and whatever, because I think he's been a great player for Arsenal, and what's happened to him is horrible. It's not his fault. You know, he's been really unlucky. Everyone's seen the pictures of his ankle. It's really, really sad. And, you know, I'm not a medical specialist or whatever, but according to all the reports, he's lucky that he can even walk again. So if he gets to play football, great. Whether it be for Arsenal or not, I doubt it. I'd like to see him put the shirt on one more time just so he can get a nice send-off, to be honest. Other than that, you know, I just hope he has a nice life and isn't troubled too much by all the problems that can come from that sort of injury.
Look, he's not going to play for us again.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you have to look at the team that consider that Santi basically is no longer part of the squad. Realistically, if he gets to play, great. You know, it's going to be a 10-15 minute cameo here or there, that'd be it. But you've got to move on from Santi being in the squad now. It's why I got annoyed the other day. Someone did a question on Twitter, and it was, oh, who would you bring in to replace Santi Cazorla? And instead of voting, you know, for the suggested players, I just replied, I said, why are you basing your team around one player? You can't bank the entire team on one player. It's not the way football works anymore.
More to the point, you know, I mean, look, if, you know, Santi hasn't played now for over a year for us. As soon as he had that injury, said it then, you're going to be lucky to see him back in an Arsenal shirt. Okay? But all this bollocks of we miss Santi, this, that, and the other, okay? He was a mainstay of our midfield for very long. It only happened over, a six-month period, because injuries piling up that Achilles problem he had, it was a nasty one. And yes, you know, a wonderful player, except when he's in front of target for the last couple of years. But, you know, he's gone. We've got a midfield at the moment. They're working okay. We're starting to improve as a team. We've got to keep the players we've got fit now. You know, no point in replacing Santi Cazorla whatsoever. You can't replace such a unique skill set. You're not going to do it. And for all this thing of replacing Santi Cazorla, forget it. You don't need to replace Santi Cazorla. You need a different player to come in who's going to come in and actually fit into this into this team and improve the team as it is. You know, God, I hope he's okay. And, you know, he gets to you know, have whatever life it is, and is, you know, he doesn't have so many problems with his legs. I don't think any of us know, you know, the real degree of this injury for him. But, you know, let's just hope he's okay, and, you know, he gets to move on with his life no matter what. But, you know, it was ridiculous he had a year's extension after that injury. It was ridiculous.
I think that's the club saying they want to look after a player, isn't it? I think it's one of those things. I do get it, though. You get it from the sentimental side. You think, oh, it's really nice and it's generous of the club. But then you also get the, oh, it's a bad business decision. And if you're doing that, you kind of have to, if you're doing that as a sentimental thing, I think you have to go, right, we've written that money off as like a goodwill gesture, but we actually have to get an actual genuine player to come in and replace him, which we didn't do.
I tell you what, we've got a troll in the group. We've got a troll in the group. Arsenal all the fucking way. Here we go. This is a guy, I think he's over three different handles now. I can block him again. That's so much fun. Blocking twats. It's so much fun. But,
Send the man, yes. Brilliant. I mean, I'm straight as fuck, but Santi smile. Yeah, that and his little dance when he takes the free kicks and stuff as well. They're good.
He's such a cheeky little bugger, isn't he? Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Right, last question from Joe Madeira, 1993. Who would you play on Wednesday night? On the second team playing so poorly against Cologne. Who would you play on Wednesday, mate?
Well, we're through. We're top of the group. The seniors have been really disappointing for me,
yeah,
or the majority of them anyway. I've been disappointed that some of the younger kids haven't got to play their actual positions. So I think I'd give Macy a run out in goal, give him another game. I'd keep Debuchy, Mertesacker and Holding. I don't think they've done anything wrong, in particular those back three. I think that's fine. Then I want to see Maitland-Niles play centre mid. I really like him. I think the fact every time we've seen him, he's been left wing back. He's not left footed. It's not his position at all. And he's done really well there. Yes, his delivery at time hasn't been the best, but you can understand it playing that position. So I'd like to see him play centre mid. I'd like to see Joe Willock come in as well. You know, and just really give the young boys a go. Reece Nelson, I'd like to see him actually as an attacker, not a wing back. So you can go Nelson, you can see Eddie and Nketiah up front as well. I don't know, maybe Akpom, possibly. I don't know. You know, what, something like that. And then as for your wing backs, I'd say Elneny, Coquelin. Your seniors, you know what you've got to do. You know what your job is. Let the young boys have their time and play. You can both defend. You both know where you're positionally you should be playing anyway. Coquelin's played left wing before. He did in Germany. You know, Elneny's played in the defence. So let him have a go. And even then, if you wanted to put Elneny at centre-back, you put Debuchy right wing back. You know, but I'd let the young boys. I really want to see Reece Nelson up front, further up the pitch, with less defensive responsibility. And I really want to see Maitland-Niles play centre mid. They're the two big things for me.
For me, I Macy at keeper, Mertesacker holding, and Chambers next to him.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
It's the FA Cup, isn't it? It's not FA Cup. It's the
Carabao Cup.
Carabao Cup. I'm thinking it's Europa League. I was thinking of the Barca game. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, in that case, yeah. I tell you what, I'd still put Maitland-Niles as one of the centre mids. I'd still give him a go.
Yeah. But I'd like to see Chambers and Holding either side and pair.
Yeah.
As your wing backs, I'm not sure I'd go with wing backs. I'd Debuchy one side because I think we do need cover for Hector. And I think he could do that. On the left-hand side, I'm not sure. I've got to be honest here. I'm not sure. I don't think going with when the kid's there, I wouldn't want to go with the kid's there. I think
you can play Coquelin there.
And then I'd pick Elneny and Maitland-Niles in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Nelson.
No, we're both from Jason's Premier League on Wednesday. Fucking hell.
Wednesday, isn't it?
Premier League on Wednesday. Jesus. Sorry, chat. We're awful.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind, yeah.
No, it's my bad as well. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, it is Premier League. Sorry, guys. Oh, no, I've got full-strength team. Full-strength team.
I wouldn't go full-strength if you've got Man United on Saturday.
I think we need to pick up 3 points. It's as simple as that. I think, okay. Loki 73, come on, for fuck's sakes. Yeah, we've lost the will to live now. Is it 1.5 we got?
How are we still talking after 1.5 hours, Danny? Well, because we watched the game, we got up out of our beds, yeah, and we actually watched it, and you've probably just woken up, you lazy fucker. Yeah.
Danny, are you one of those twats who's been here, who's been on, you know, on here, trolling us? Yeah, no, I think you've got a full strength team. I think you can maybe chuck. I think I'd like to see Jack start, actually. I would like to see Jack start.
Yeah, I'd give Jack, if Ozil's still ill, I'd give Jack a go. I don't know how much more you can change. You can maybe bring Elneny or someone in midfield if you want to rest or give someone a little bit, you know, 60-odd minutes or something like that, and then bring him on. But yeah, I think it's one of those games where you might see like the likes of Ramsey and Alexis and whatnot come off at like 60, 65 minutes. So they don't play the full 90. Yeah, as long as the job's done, so we can get in the Man United game. But I doubt much will change midweek.
No. Yeah. I would like to see Jack start, though. I think, you know, it's one of those. I think Iwobi's not done anything today. And if Ozil is ill, you can't risk him against Huddersfield if he's on his way back. So there you go. Okay, that's
it. Well, everyone knows our games for the Europa League and the Carabao Cup now, though. So.
Jesus, left. I tell you what, okay. Yeah, how pawny are we? How pawny are we?
I mean, this is what happens when you do the radio show all the time. You lose complete track of time on what games are coming up.
Tell me about it. Right, guys, thank you to everybody in the chat box. You've been superb, other than a few of the trolls who've come in who are utter twats. How sad are they that they've got to do that? How what sort of life have they got that they've got to do that? But there you go, dirty northern bastards. Yeah, that's it. Thank you ever so much. If you can give us a thumbs up, that's fantastic. Or give us a thumbs down. But thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciated it. John?
Yeah? It was great, mate. Enjoyed this, just the two of us. It was good fun.
Just the two of us. See you all. Take care, guys. Cheers.